702.
Let's walk the talk on 92.7
and 106 FM.
Joined now on the line by the CEO of Power, that's People Opposing Women Abuse, Mary Mahaba. Power is planning a march to the National Prosecuting Authority, but also is looking for your help to fast track three bills which they say could assist in the fight against gender-based violence. Mary, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Afternoon, Azania. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. So let's start with the march tomorrow. Power marching to the National Prosecuting Authority. What is the demand from the NPA?
Our demands are very clear. It's about, remember, we're working with survivors. Our survivors, we need them to be treated with dignity and respect, particularly with regard to progress. They don't get feedback, particularly with regard to cases on GBV when they go to court. Speedy finalization of GBV cases on the court rolls. We want them to give them prioritization. At times, they are not given enough time to respond regarding their dissatisfaction on bail, on prosecution of cases. We also want the NPA to increase the conviction rate and make sure that they push for harsher sentences or jurisdictions. And then we also need them to get our survivors court preparation, particularly some of us, when they're going to testify them, when they're going to testify there, they become scared, you know, they don't know what to say, they need to be prepared by the court. And then we are saying that no bail to the perpetrators of GBVF must be given, and then the victims have to be consulted first.
Mm. Mary, one of the big challenges for justice in general for South Africa is that the justice cluster, much like other parts of the public service, have suffered from quite deep cuts to funding. How much of this, the inability of the NPA to provide the kind of service or support to survivors of GBV, the speedy resolution of cases, court preparation, dealing with, you know, our conviction rate for serious crimes is, you know, worryingly low. How much of it has to do with this, you know, the year on year, this underfunding of the justice cluster?
I'm not sure of that because I'm not within the Department of Justice and the NPA in terms of funding, but I used to read about this having challenges with regard to funding. But some of our demands are not in monetary. They don't need funding, particularly for court preparations for our victims, unless if we're demanding that they must have to do some structures or victim-friendly rooms. We need our clients to have progress on cases. Remember, in terms of the victim charter, clients have got the right to get information. They must make sure that they prepare them when they go to court. They know exactly what is expected. And even issues of granting parole or bail to perpetrators have got nothing to do with funding. It's something that they need to reconsider and reprioritize when they're dealing with the survivors in our court.
In terms of speedy resolution, what is the, and I guess it will vary from case to case, from province to province, you know, courts have different ways, but what are some of the kind of average times that survivors are having to wait for their matters to first, you know, be heard in the courts, but also for there to be resolution to the matter?
Sometimes I'm talking from our survivors, as people opposing women abuse. We'll have a person staying for 8 to 12 months, going for court, you know, with lack of proper direction. Sometimes it's on the side of the police when you find that the person does not have feedback, the court dates are missing, at times does not go there, the perpetrator is given an advantage, you know, because of the IO, the investigating officer. It's a whole chain of the criminal justice system. It's not only about the NPA. Remember, the first point of entry is the SAPS, where cases have to be opened in terms of taking statements, police taking statements. If they're not taken right, because we do have survivors who cannot read, who are very much illiterate. So sometimes this delays us in getting our cases proper and even for them testifying in court, because sometimes statements are not taken properly. It affects a certain organization because we end up losing cases without evidence when we go to our honorable court.
Mm. One of the other things Power is asking is that South Africans add their voice to your campaign, which is asking the government to prioritize three new bills also to deal with the issue of gender-based violence. What are these three bills that you want to be dealt with on an urgent basis?
Yes, given, Azania, the high prevalence of the scourge of domestic violence against women and children in South Africa. Remember, GBV, the president has alluded very clearly that it's the second pandemic, so we need to give it a priority. Government must give it a priority. We have partnered with JOCO because Joko is playing a very, very big part in helping women of strength in this abusive relationship by creating safe space for women so that their voices can be heard. Joko has partnered with us since last year in August. We launched a hashtag called hashtag End Domestic Violence. Because we know very well that sometimes if you have tea and conversations, they go together. That's why we're working together. The three bills that we're talking of that we want government to prioritize, and we're calling upon all South Africans to be with us for this particular bill to be passed on into law. The first one is the Criminal Law, in brackets, Sexual Offences and Related Matters Amendment Act. This one is just talking about, for instance, sexual violence cases. We are very happy as Power and Joko that this bill has added new offences, particularly to the perpetrators, where there could be cases of sexual intimidation, where there could be cases of the extent of the ambit of the offence of interest, and extending the duty of reporting suspected sexual abuse of a child. It also expands, which is of interesting, the scope of the National Register for Sex Offenders, which we normally abbreviate it as the NRSO. Where this, the perpetrators will be named and shamed in that register for public naming of perpetrators, because we want them.
I think we're having some technical issues there with Mary. Not sure what the issue is. If you've just joined us, she is the CEO of People Opposing Women Abuse, speaking to us ahead of the march to the National Prosecuting Authority, where they are demanding greater support for GBV survivors. But also, just before she got cut off there, she was speaking about there are three key bills that Power is demanding that be urgently fast-tracked. They were introduced to Parliament in September of last year. The one is the Criminal Law, Sexual Offences and Related Matters Amendment Act, which also included, you know, the conversation about expanding the scope of the National Register for Sex Offenders, including, and this has been one of the quite a big demand from activists, but also members of the public, making the list public. The naming of perpetrators. Currently, the list only includes people who abuse children or those who are mentally incapacitated. And there has been a demand that not only we make the list public, but we expand the scope to include all sex offenders. The other bill that there's been a demand from Power about is the Criminal and Related Matters Amendment Bill, asking that would tighten the granting of bail condition, well, bail in the cases of GBV and femicide. You may remember last year, President Cyril Ramaphosa saying one of the things he will be looking to prioritize is dealing with the issue of people accused of serious issues of crime, especially against women and children, be denied bail. And then the third one that Power is also looking for action on is the Domestic Violence Act. They're looking to extend the provisions to those who are engaged, dating, and customary relationships, and in actual or perceived romantic, intimate sexual relationships by any amount of time. Because currently, the how we determine domestic violence would exclude those who are engaged, dating, in customary relationships, or in any kind of intimate relationship. But also, they wanted to extend to protect the elderly from abuse by family members. And this is because on average, it's taking Parliament 153 days to pass a bill, with another 96 days from adoption to assent by the president. And they're saying, you know, in with gender-based violence, time is of the essence. Every day that we're not getting these bills passed is time lost, is time that we're unable to provide better support, better recourse for survivors of gender-based violence. But unfortunately, technology was not on our side, so we lost Mary there, the CEO of People Opposing Women Abuse.